Stay with him. I think you'll enjoy it. This is Music Radio 97, KOIN, in Portland. It's 11 o'clock, CBS News time.
CBS News. President Ford may decide on Tuesday whether to appeal a court decision that he acted illegally in his imposition of the $2 a barrel tariff on imported oil. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Presidential aides say Mr. Ford must first decide whether the government is liable for repayment of the $800 million in tariffs already collected. There is some speculation a decision will be announced Tuesday in Vail, Colorado, where Mr. Ford is vacationing. A federal appeals court in Washington threw out the tariff, saying the president exceeded his authority in imposing it. Senator Hubert Humphrey, Democrat of Minnesota, likes the decision.
This means that the price of crude oil will be reduced to $2 a barrel. It means an average price decrease over all oil of about 10%. Can mean that gas prices could come down to at least 52 or 53 cents a gallon. This is welcome news and could be a shot in the arm for the recovery of our economy.
Other congressional Democrats share Humphrey's view. Chairman Al Ullman of the House Ways and Means Committee says removal of the tariff should materially reduce petroleum prices. More news in a moment.
They said it could be done. Kill fleas and ticks all in one. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
Don't let your dog suffer with fleas and ticks. The Hearts two-in-one collar kills them both. Why settle for old-type flea collars? The Hearts two-in-one collar kills both fleas and ticks. And you only replace it when effectiveness diminishes. Don't be fooled. Get your dog the Hearts two-in-one collar. One incredible collar for both fleas and ticks.
Hello, world. Denny Bracken for Mike Roy's Cooking Thing, and I see our noble super chef there boning chicken thighs for tomorrow's Cook Thing.
That's right, something different. You know, you get tired of hamburgers, you can't afford London broil.
Well,
you're ready for a zingy chicken in a bun.
You're a thigh man, I see here.
Oh, chicken thighs and me go together, well, like.
Yes, they do. Well, if you're not chicken friends, tune in tomorrow, won't you, when Mike Roy puts Zing in Your Thing right here on the CBS Radio Network.
An FBI spokesman Monday night said the Bureau has no knowledge of any witness to the abduction of former Teamster Union President James Hoffa. Late Monday, Hoffa's son James said authorities conducted extensive interviews with an individual who claims to have seen the elder Hoffa abducted from a restaurant near Detroit. The Agriculture Department says it does not want grain dealers to make any more sales to the Soviet Union for at least a month. This is because of declining expectations for the harvest this year. Although officials still say they expect a record harvest, it'll not be as large as originally thought because of drought in several food belt states. A Russian timber fire continues to cause big headaches in Southern California. A report from Jake Jacobs of radio station KNX Los Angeles.
The 800 firefighters battling a blaze in rugged mountainous terrain in the Angeles National Forest, 30 miles north of Los Angeles, are gaining the upper hand on that brush fire that has been out of control since Saturday morning. The fire sprang to life with renewed vigor late Monday afternoon and blackened an additional 400 acres, bringing the total to more than 3,000 acres consumed. This prompted the call-up of an additional 150 firefighters. Those men are now being held in reserve in the event of another flare-up. Authorities on the scene are predicting containment by the time daylight comes in Los Angeles. However, that's a cautious prediction, and Roy Talbot of the Los Angeles County Fire Department says the cause could be considerably more than it is now.
Well, estimates on damage to the resources of $688,000, and the suppression cost standing at this time, $331,000. By resources would be the damage to the watershed itself.
Roy Talbot of the Los Angeles County Fire Department. This is Jake Jacobs for CBS News, Los Angeles.
As expected, the United States has vetoed UN membership for North Vietnam and South Vietnam. The action came during debate in the Security Council. The U.S. had threatened the veto because the council failed to include on the agenda a request by South Korea for a UN seat. Alfred Loomis, a pioneer in the development of radar, died Monday at his home in East Hampton, New York. He was 87. Loomis helped set up the laboratory at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, where much basic research in radar was conducted. Now this.
We did it before, and we can do it again. Yeah, we can do it again. We got them going the Chrysler way, and people are buying cars. We did it before, we'll do it again.
The checks are in the mail. People are getting their rebates.
Hey, Joe! Can we still get them?
You bet. The nationwide sale is still going strong. You can still get up to $300 cash back.
Terrific, Joe!
Yes, sir. You can get $300 cash back on full-size Chryslers, Dodge Monacos, Plymouth Furies, and Dodge Coronets. $200 cash back on Dodge Vans and two-wheel drive pickups.
And away, Joe!
And you can get $200 cash back on Plymouth Valiants, Dusters, and Dodge Darts. Listen, folks, the nationwide sale is still going strong at your participating Dodge and Chrysler Plymouth dealers.
We did it before, we'll do it again.
For retail customers only.
In Washington Tuesday, diplomats from Israel will sit down with U.S. officials to discuss a possible interim settlement with Egypt on the Sinai. It is thought that such an agreement may be near, and the negotiators will be trying to work out some of the final legal language for it. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
30-year-old Bernard John Sullivan of Salem was found unharmed this morning by searchers east of Rhododendron in the Mount Hood area near Camp Creek. Sheriff's deputies and explorer scouts took part in the search for Sullivan, who was reported missing Saturday night. A preliminary injunction stopping the city of Salem from using a new sign ordinance to require Foster and Kleiser to remove some outdoor advertising was granted today by Judge James Burns of U.S. District Court. City Attorney William Juza said Salem would not oppose a temporary order. Contract agreement between Menasha Corporation of North Bend and the Association of Western Pulp and Paper Workers was reached today. The one-year contract provides raises of about 15% for 141 workers, retroactive to March 15th. Meanwhile, a strike by the union against Gray's Harbor Paper Company, Aberdeen, Washington, entered its 120th day today. About 400 workers are affected. An AWPPW spokesman said the Menasha contract is in line with other recent settlements in the industry. Portland policeman Robert Penny, who was fired in May and later reinstated by the Civil Service Board, has resigned from the police bureau for personal reasons. Penny, who is 28, was charged with being implicated in breaking bureau rules in connection with stolen goods. He and some other men have purchased land near an airport. Penny is a pilot who teaches flying and is building his own airplane. Senator Bob Packwood of Oregon says he's surprised at the court decision that wiped out President Ford's tariff on imported oil. The U.S. Court of Appeals ruled that Ford was out of bounds because Congress had not delegated to him the authority to impose the tariff. The governor of New York, Hugh Carey, has signed a bill making the beaver the official state animal there. Oregon has been known as the beaver state for decades, and a beaver graces the state flag. Oregon state officials tried in vain to talk New York lawmakers out of the move. The New Yorkers say New York State can trace its use of the beaver as a symbol back to colonial days. The Oregon legislature officially adopted the beaver as the state animal in 1969. The weather for Portland, Vancouver, fair nights, sunny and warmer days through Tuesday and Wednesday. Lows 55 to 60, highs in the middle 80s. Tuesday in the upper 80s on Wednesday. Chance of rainfall near zero tonight, Tuesday and Tuesday night. The present temperature in downtown Portland, 67 degrees. That's KOIN News to 8 1/2 after 11. I'm Bill Garrity.
KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. A search resumes at dawn today for a plane missing in the Colorado Rockies. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Searchers in planes and helicopters have been looking for the twin-engine prop jet plane that disappeared Friday afternoon with 9 people on board. Sergeant Jim Borowski of the Sheriff's Department says a beacon signal was picked up Saturday morning.
The emergency locator beacon signal was heard in an area approximately 5 miles east of the Connell Divide in Rocky Mountain National Park. And we concentrated our ground search efforts in that area. We sent up parties from the west side, and also the Park Service sent up some people from the east side to look around the area. The area is very rugged, mostly between 11,500 and 12,000 feet in elevation. All of our ground crews have been pulled off for the night on the western slope. The Park Service has got a crew that will stay overnight in a ranger station up in the mountains.
Bad weather has hampered rescue efforts so far. There was snow and wind gusting to 60 miles an hour on Saturday. Snow and below-freezing weather in Tulsa, Oklahoma, are dampening hopes that 54-year-old Alfred Sherman will be found alive. Sherman wandered away from a nursing home about a week ago. He's a diabetic and he has no insulin, and his wife says he is under the delusion that he is back in World War II and fleeing the Nazis. Sherman suffered a stroke recently that left him confused. More news coming up.
Hi, football fans. Win Elliott of CBS Radio Network Sports here. Plenty happening in postseason pro and college football over most of these CBS Radio Network stations. New Year's Day, the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Georgia, and Arkansas. Connie Alexander and Tommy Hendrick will bring you the action. Sunday, January 4th, the NFC Championship, Jim Kelly and Don Klein. Then I'll be around the weekend of January 17th and 18th to bring you 28 special sports broadcasts, all leading up to that extravaganza, the Super Bowl number 10. For the game itself, Jim Kelly and Ed Ingalls will be there in Miami. Exclusive radio coverage, so you don't need television to get the picture. So here it is in a nutshell, CBS Radio. Cotton Bowl, New Year's Day, NFC Championship, Sunday, January 4th, and then my special 28 broadcasts, 17th and 18th, leading to Super Bowl 10. You listen for the best in postseason football over most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
A government official in India says the death toll will be heavy in a coal mine accident north of Calcutta. Several hundred men are believed trapped in a mine shaft after it was flooded by water from a nearby reservoir. The reservoir walls burst after there was an underground explosion. Four bodies have been recovered so far. Exiled Soviet dissident Alexander Solzhenitsyn has again warned the Western world about the Soviet threat to democracy. He says in an interview with a French news magazine that the fate of the West will be decided in the next few years and that democracy could lose out to totalitarianism, because he says Westerners simply do not care enough about defending their liberties. Nobody, he says, is ready to die for liberty. And he adds that if the Soviet leaders felt that Westerners had the least vital spark for liberties, they would give up. That's what happened, he points out, when the Western countries stood up to the Soviets in Berlin, Korea, and in Cuba. The Chicago Sun-Times reports on Sunday that Dr. J. Robert Oppenheimer's conversations with his lawyers were bugged by the FBI during a McCarthy-era investigation of Oppenheimer. The Sun-Times quotes the George Washington University law professor Harold Green as saying that he saw FBI memos of those conversations. Green drew up the charges against Oppenheimer that he was an agent for the Soviet Union. Oppenheimer's security clearance was lifted in 1953 as a result of those charges. Oppenheimer was director of the Los Alamos, New Mexico secret laboratory where the atomic bomb was designed during World War II. The FBI says it is withholding comment on the news story until it can check its files. Now, this message.
For hundreds of years, alcoholic men and women have been scolded, denounced, beaten, lashed, pilloried, dunked, jailed, and, of course, threatened with eternal damnation. There is no evidence that any of these treatments ever resulted in a single cure. Why not? Simply because alcoholism is not a crime. It is not a moral weakness. It is an illness. An illness that can be treated successfully. What's more, alcoholism can often be prevented before it develops if we learn to recognize the early signs of drinking problems. After all these years, there ought to be better ways to treat alcoholism than punishing the alcoholic person. And of course there are. For information or help, write Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland.
This message is a public service by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
The real estate industry is coming under investigation by the Federal Trade Commission. FTC officials say they'll look for unfair methods of competition and deceptive practices in the sale of property. State police in Flint, Michigan are running some ballistics tests on weapons of two police officers to find out which gun fired a shot that wounded a policewoman. The woman and her partner got into an argument about who was going to drive their patrol car. There was a shootout involving some other officers, too. The woman was hit in the chest. She's in fair condition, and her partner has a minor thigh wound. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
In Northwest News tonight, Portland police can start growing their hair longer next year. The police bureau has issued an order allowing officers to grow their hair to a length that does not extend below the top edge of the collar while the officer is in a standing position. The new rules also allow neatly trimmed sideburns and mustaches. Some officers say they think beards will also be permitted.
Seattle police report one person is dead and at least 20 injured from a bus crash in the city's International District. Police say the accident involved three Seattle Metro Transit buses and seven cars. A witness to the accident, David Knott, was working in a service station across the street from the crash and gave this account of the incident.
Well, what I seen was I was working on a customer, and I heard some squalling brakes come out, and I looked out the door, and the other customer says, "My God," and he seen this one bus come in the side, and so did I, and then I seen this other one come back and clobber this other one back about 5-6 feet. I guess he dodged the car by what I heard, and clobbered right in there, and then took about 5 seconds, and everything was just over with. Now I looked back out there and seen some people laying on the ground.
Reportedly, two bus drivers were pinned in their vehicles and had to be freed by emergency workers. The injured have been taken to four area hospitals for treatment. The identity of the fatality victim has not been announced. The success environmentalists had with cleaning up the Willamette River will be one of several case histories on practical methods of environmental involvement improvement to be published by the U.S. Geological Survey. The series will be written in non-technical language so laymen can participate in river and stream cleanup projects throughout the nation. Portland-Vancouver weather, rain likely at times overnight, decreasing chance of showers Sunday afternoon and night, partly sunny Monday, lows 35 to 40, and the highs in or near the low 50s. Temperature in the city right now, 45 degrees. I'm Cliff Hansen. When news happens, Coin Radio gets it on.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. For centuries, we have heard of the search for the fountain of youth, for the magic elixir of life eternal. Oh, to be young always, to hold age and death at arm's length. Put it this way, if you could live forever, would you want to? A word of caution before you reply. What might seem at first blush to be a vision of delight could also be a reality of horror.
I just thought I'd call. I'm your neighbor. Welcome to Lake Raymond.
Well, thank you. Would you come in, Mrs.
Mallory.
Mrs. Mallory, Eleanor's gone to town on an errand.
Oh, such a lovely-looking child. Must be wonderful to have a granddaughter like that.
Granddaughter?
Well, she is your granddaughter, ain't she?
Eleanor happens to be my wife.
Oh. Well, I... Oh, me and my big mouth.
No, that's all right. She does look young, doesn't she?
Oh, yes. Yes, she does.
Well, how old would you guess?
16, 17, 18 top.
Ah, deceptive. Deceptive. She was 18 the day we were married.
Oh, are you newlyweds?
Newlyweds, my dear Mrs. Mallory. We're about to celebrate our 45th wedding anniversary.
Our mystery drama, Age Cannot Wither Her, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Jennifer Harmon. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Time Magazine. I'll be back shortly. With Act One.
Magazine, sir?
Yes. Time Magazine, please, stewardess.
Oh, golly, that man across the aisle just took the last copy of Time we have. Sorry. Magazine?
Pardon me?
Yes?
I noticed you haven't started reading your Time Magazine yet.
No, you couldn't.
But you haven't.
I'm writing a letter to my mother, and when I'm finished, I'm going to enjoy Time. Don't try to peek inside of it, sir.
Stewardess.
Yes, sir.
This man isn't reading the Time magazine.
I'm writing a letter first.
To his mommy.
Don't be nasty.
All I want.
Sir, couldn't this gentleman
just
here...
Just let me glance at the theater section.
No.
Modern Living?
No.
One little book review.
Look, I know how enjoyable Time magazine is to read. What? He'll start reading one article and another, and by the time he's finished, we'll be in Budapest.
I have a speed reading diploma.
I don't...
Problem here, stewardess.
Not really, Captain. This man here has the last copy of Time magazine, but he's writing a letter to his mommy.
Sir, you'll have to give up one or the other.
Yes. All right. Here.
Dear mommy, I'm up in a big airplane.
Time makes everything more interesting, including you.
I have a heart that goes bump, bump.
And sometimes I can hear it thump. And Daddy says that in my chest, I have two things that are the best. They call them lungs, for breathing air. You never see them, but they're there. And if I breathe in air that's clean, I'll grow up like a jumping bean. Whenever I see any snake, I'll run away before I choke. And something even better yet, I'll never smoke a cigarette. I'll breathe the air that's clean and free, so I can keep on being me.
Clear the smoke from your family image and from your lungs. And remember, your kids may never start if you stop. Quitting is tough, but your lung association says it's a matter of life and breath.
Those women who seem to inspire hopeless passion in men. They are women whose love can never be won, and if captured, can only be held for the moment. We tend to sympathize with the unfortunate men who are caught in their web, but the truth is, it's the woman, as usual, who pays the price in the end. Our story is set in the town of Raymond, named, of course, after the celebrated Lake Raymond, that vast, beautiful body of water high in the Adirondack Mountains. A very determined-looking middle-aged lady is walking with purposeful stride down the main street. She has an expression on her face that bodes ill for someone.
Oh, Sheriff.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, Mrs.
Mallory.
Oh, yes, yeah, Mrs. Mallory.
Roberta Mallory. It used to be the sheriff knew everybody in town.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Mallory. I'm new here.
I spoke to my husband and the neighbors, and they said, what are you getting involved for?
Involved in what?
But I'm a citizen. Now, it's my duty to uphold the law.
Has the law been violated?
Is murder a violation of the law, Sheriff?
You here to report a murder?
These people, the Burnhams, they have the house next to ours on the lake. Now, he's in his 60s, maybe 70s. She can't be more than 20. Now, what kind of marriage is that?
Well, now, Mrs. Mallory, I must ask you...
Those things don't work. They can't work. And they can lead to murder.
Well, you have any facts for me?
Well, it was just this morning. We were sitting around the dock, my husband and me. And we share this dock with the Burnhams, you see. Well, him and her... Him in swimming trunks and she in that bikini of hers had come down to the water. We exchange polite hellos. We're not close. And they get into the sailboat. They got this 16-footer, and off they go.
Yes?
Well, 3-4 hours later, the sailboat comes back. He's all alone. She's not with him. So I say to him, where's Miss Burnham? And you know what he answers?
Well?
He gives me the funniest look, and he says, obviously, she's not here.
Well, what happened to her?
I don't know what happened to her.
Well, what did Mr. Burnham say had happened to her?
He said absolutely nothing. Now, here's my point. He can keep his mouth shut when I ask him, but he's got to open it when you ask him.
Mr. Burnham, you tell me what happened to your wife?
I don't know.
Sir, as I understand it, two of you went sailing this morning and you came back alone.
Yes.
Where's your wife?
Sheriff, I've already told you. I don't know.
Did she leave the boat?
Well, obviously. She wasn't there when I returned to the dock.
Mr. Burnham, are you feeling all right?
I have a headache. I suppose it was carelessness on my part. See, we had a very strong breeze on the lake, and she let go of the boom in order to tack, and it swung free. Well, you know how swiftly it travels during that maneuver, and it just caught me across the head. I must have passed out.
For how long?
I don't know. When I came to, she was gone.
When this accident with the boom occurred, where was the boat?
Well, we were quite some distant, well, several miles from shore.
Is your wife a good swimmer?
Well, no.
Then if she did fall overboard, she drowned.
No. No, because... well, she couldn't.
Well, how can you say that?
Because nothing can happen to her.
Mr. Burnham, you better explain what that means.
I can't explain it. I can only tell you that nothing can ever happen to her.
Mr. Burnham, I'm afraid you don't understand the seriousness of your situation.
Oh, I understand. I understand that a marriage, my marriage of 45 years, is over. But
when a man and a wife go sailing and a man returns a... what did you say about being married for 45 years?
Well, today was our 45th anniversary.
Mr. Burnham, your wife has been described as a woman of about 20.
I know. I know she hasn't changed one bit in almost... do you realize it's almost half a century, Sheriff? This has been a... it's been a devastating day for me. I'm required to rest in the afternoon.
I'm sorry. I got to get these answers. What happened to your wife?
Well, as I say, she had decided to leave me. And, of course, she was right. I was making it difficult for her. Well, when I was knocked unconscious, she may have thought this would be the best time to go, so she sailed the boat to shore, got out, and then she set me adrift again.
And where would she go?
Away. Lose herself once again in the world.
Wearing nothing but a bikini? Carrying nothing?
Oh, I'm sure she had access to whatever she needed.
I see. You got a picture of your wife?
Well, we have only one picture in the house. It was taken the day we were engaged. Here, this one over here on the cabinet.
But that can't be the way she looks now.
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly.
Oh, no. She's 45 years older.
You would think so. But that's not true. When that was taken, I was 25 and she was 19. Today, I'm 70, but she's still 19. Sheriff, excuse me. I'm very, very tired.
Yeah. Why don't you just lie down for a few minutes?
May I? Thank you so much.
That's her.
Mrs. Mallory, please look at this carefully. This is a picture of a 19-year-old girl.
That's right. That's all she was. And this is her.
Mrs. Mallory, this picture is 45 years old.
What? Oh, no. Well, why, the dress she's wearing, the hair.
Well, those stars have come back, and that's not her boyfriend. It's her husband.
But she's a young girl.
Well, examine this photo very carefully. Mm. Could it be somebody who resembles her? Let's say, her daughter.
Look, I'm a student of people. Mrs. Burnham had this slight squint in her left eye, you see? And a little mole, right side of her chin. And a kind of curved little scar just above her left eyebrow.
Mm. Oh,
this is Mrs. Burnham. And I saw her just this morning. She can't be close on 70. Well, that would make her older than me.
Ah, how do you feel, Mr. Burnham?
Why have I been arrested? Why am I in the hospital? Why are psychiatrists having a field day with me?
Well, it's a part of a mental examination.
In other words, the consensus is that I'm crazy.
Oh, let's say that your behavior after you realized your wife was gone has not been normal.
Believe me, Sheriff, when I tell you that my wife is alive and well.
I'd like to believe you, but first you've got to explain certain things you said. You told me she couldn't swim. Yet if she fell overboard, she couldn't drown.
That's right, because nothing can ever happen to her.
That's what you have to clear up.
I can't. You won't believe me.
Why won't I?
Well, if I tell the true story, they'll put me in an asylum for the rest of my life.
Well...
and if you should believe me, they'll put you there, too.
Believe me, Mr. Burnham, you've got nothing to lose.
Well, my wife was 19 the day I met her, 45 years ago. She's been 19 ever since. And she'll be 19 till the world comes to an end.
That's impossible.
Oh, I see. That's the point. Now, you say, tell me the story. I no sooner start when you say, impossible.
Oh, I'm sorry. How did you meet your wife?
I met her in a bank 45 years ago. In a bank in Philadelphia. I'd go in there every Friday afternoon to cash my paycheck. And I noticed this very pretty girl. She was probably there for the same reason. Well, I fell in love with her. But I didn't know how to go about meeting her. I was very shy. Well, on this particular afternoon, the bank was crowded. But I saw her standing in line. I was wondering, hoping how I could meet her when suddenly...
Everybody put up your hands. Everybody! Don't make a sound! Hey, you! You crazy dang! Put that phone down!
Operator, this is the Merchants Bank on Chestnut.
Put down that phone!
There's a holdup in progress.
Shoot her!
There are six men.
Shoot her!
All armed, all wearing masks.
Get out of here! Put down! Go!
Anyone in the bank was fully aware of what was happening. At the sound of the shooting, everybody threw himself to the floor or jumped behind desks. But I couldn't take my eyes off her. In the confusion, after the bandits ran out, she just very calmly walked through the door. I ran after her.
Hey, listen, I have to talk to you.
Who are you?
I think what you just did was... Well, it was absolutely terrific.
Would you excuse me, please?
No, look, this isn't a pickup or anything. My name is John Burnham. I'm a chemical engineer. What could be more respectable than that?
I'm sorry, I'm not interested.
I looked at that ring finger on your left hand, and I see you're not married or even engaged. Now, if you're going with somebody, or if you're in love with somebody, okay, I'll take a walk.
That's exactly the way it is. I'm very much in love with...
No, that can't be true. It can't be, because the very second I saw you, I knew. I just knew that you and I...
Oh, shut up.
Please.
No, forgive me.
Forgive you? Why, I'm in love with you.
No, you mustn't be in love with me. No one must ever be in love with me. Please go, before it's too late. Before I fall in love with you.
Now, look. You can't help it. You're minding your own business, and suddenly, just like that, it happens.
Yes, I know.
I saw you pick up that phone, and when they started shooting at you, it was a miracle. A miracle how all those bullets could have missed you. See, some of them even ripped through your dress. Look, see there? Your dress is torn.
John Berman, please turn around and walk away as quickly as you can.
Oh, no.
You say you love me. But I tell you, one day you'll hate me.
How could I ever hate you?
They all hate me in the end.
They all... What do you mean? How many were there?
John...
No, I don't care.
I shouldn't even be talking to you, but I'm a woman, and like all women, I need love. And it's been so long. Oh, how long it's been.
I love you.
I know that. I should send you away, but I want to be loved again. It's wrong, but I can't help myself.
What are you saying? Why is it wrong?
Maybe this time it'll be different. Maybe you'll be different.
Of course. I will.
Yes. Maybe you can be different. Maybe you can do something that none of the others could. Maybe... You can find a way for me to die.
All right. That's a request you don't hear every day. Why should she want to die? She's young, she's beautiful. She should have a whole glorious life in front of her. And yet, didn't she try to die back there in the bank? Didn't she force the bandits to fire at her? Could every bullet have missed her? We'll try to answer all these questions for you when I return in just a few moments with Act Two.
Way back in 1876, it was brewed and aged to deliver a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability found in no other beer at any price. I'm talking about Budweiser. And it's still brewed that way today, with pride, without compromise, to be the king of beers. The largest selling beer in the history of the world, for one simple reason. That Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. And that speaks for itself. Hear it talking?
When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers. There is no other one. There's only something left. Because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it, Bud.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Storm's been brewing. Whose Weather Bureau helps your Weather Bureau give you an early warning?
Who got all of the world's pilots and control towers to speak English so you can land safely no matter where you fly?
Who's just about wiped out smallpox so your kids may never need a vaccination? And who set the standards of purity on the imported food you eat?
Who helps you in dozens of ways you never dreamed of? The United Nations. Find out what the UN's been doing to help you.
Send for the free UN booklet. Write United Nations Association, Box 475, New York 10017. That's United Nations Association, Box 475, New York 10017. There's always been a U in the UN. A public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
Well, now, in the ordinary way, dying is hardly ever a problem. It's living that presents us with all sorts of difficulties. Here we have a young lady who is about to become Mrs. Eleanor Burnham. And what does she want her husband to give her for a wedding gift? She would like for him to find a way for her to die. All this is part of some explaining that John Burnham has to do to the sheriff. And he's describing how things were the day he met his bride-to-be some 45 years ago.
What do you mean, find a way for you to die?
You should know something about me.
Like what?
My age, for instance.
19 or 20?
Let's walk inside that restaurant.
Oh, sure. How about lunch?
You'd better be sitting down when I tell you how old I am. It would be wrong for me to let you go one step further without telling you the truth about me.
Okay. Let's have the truth. Not that it matters.
My age. You said I looked 19 or 20. I'm only 18.
Well, that's great. I'm 25.
I was born in the year 1554.
Well, every girl should marry a more mature man.
Did you hear what I said? I was born in 1554.
Sure. That means you have to be more than 400 years old. See, it's the same thing for men. They should also marry mature women.
John, I was 18 years old in the year 1572. I've been 18 years old ever since. I simply don't grow older. I can't grow older.
That's fantastic.
Do you realize how long I've lived? How many lives I've lived?
What an absolutely tremendous imagination.
I'm telling you the truth. I can't grow older. I can't be killed. I can't die.
Well, what's wrong with that?
You don't understand. You'll be 30, 50, 65, and I'll still be 18.
Well, is that bad?
You'll die, and I'll still be 18.
Oh, come on. Now, what's all this talk about dying? Everybody dies when his time comes.
Not me. My time never comes. I can't die.
Now, how'd we ever get on this subject anyhow?
You saw. In the bank. They all fired their guns at me. Nothing happened.
Well, that's because they all missed.
Let me tell you why I can't die.
Okay, if it'll make you feel better.
I must tell you. Please listen, and then afterward, if you still want to marry me.
Look, I am going to marry you no matter what.
I was born in Paris.
Paris? Darlene, where's your French accent, huh?
I've had enough time to lose it. I was born in the year 1554. My father was a chemist.
Well, so am I, you see? You see, we have something in common.
Well, today you would have called him an alchemist. He was always experimenting, trying to find what he called the elixir of life.
The elixir of life?
The elixir of life everlasting. I was 18. I remember it was August 23rd, the eve of St. Bartholomew's Day. I was to marry a young lieutenant in King Charles' regiment.
Oh, come on now.
No, no. You must let me tell this. It was late at night, and I heard a knock on the door, and when I opened it... Philip!
Let me in, quickly. I must not be seen here.
But it's bad luck to see your bride the night before the wedding.
Come with me at once.
What are you saying?
There is no time to lose. I can hide you in my uncle's house. We can trust him.
Philip, what are you...
The king has planned a massacre. All the partisans of Prince Henri of Navarre and all the Huguenots.
You can't be serious.
My own regiment is entrusted to carry it out.
But it's impossible.
Please, there is no time to talk, to argue. It has already begun.
Oh, my father.
You and your father, both of you are marked for death. Now come, quickly.
I won't leave without my father.
Get him. We have no time.
He's downstairs in the cellar.
Hurry.
Father?
Shh, shh, child, do not interrupt.
Father, I...
This is almost complete.
Father, listen.
That glass bottle from which the vapor is steaming, hand it to me.
Father, we must leave here at once.
Hand me the bottle, child. Carefully, it may explode. Oh, oh, my poor girl. Here, let me see. Oh, dear me, how fortunate. The breaking glass missed your eye and struck you just above the brow.
Father, there's going to be a massacre. Philip has come to help us escape.
Then I'll press a clean cloth to the wound. It is not deep.
We cannot stay here a moment longer.
You must wait a moment longer. A moment is all I need to mix the potion. And you ancient gods, in all your might, lead my way. Grant me light.
Father.
I know. Philip has come to rescue us. But there is no rescue. Philip will never get us through the streets alive.
We cannot stay here and be murdered.
No. You will not be murdered. Here. This is now ready. Drink it.
What is it?
I think I have found it. It's the elixir.
Oh, Father, such a thing
is... Such a thing is impossible, you say. Drink it, and you will never die.
Please, you must... The massacre has begun.
Drink this, quickly, and nothing will ever be able to harm you.
Father,
there is no other escape. I have found the potion. I have said the prayer. Drink it quickly. Save yourself.
Father, you drink.
There is only enough for one.
I don't want to live if everyone else is...
I am your father. I command you to drink. Drink. That's it. All of it. All of it. Now, my child, nothing can harm you.
I fainted from fright. From shock. When I recovered later, my father was dead beside me. The servants were dead. The house was in ruins. But by that time, the madness had spent itself. It was safe to be on the streets again. I made my way to Philip's house, and he married me.
Well, I guess that means that I'm not your first husband, am I?
Nor my second. Nor my third. You see, my father, at the very last moment, had discovered his elixir of life. And what it does is, it prevents you from aging. And aging is what causes death.
Well, sure.
And whenever a part of my body is injured, it heals immediately. So I can't be killed.
Now, why would anyone want to kill you, You are so adorable.
Don't do this to me.
Do what?
Don't make me fall in love with you.
Oh, but I intend to do just that.
It'll be so much harder for me to leave you when the time comes.
You know, you should be a writer. You should write horror stories. You know, those science fiction things.
I wouldn't know how to write.
Oh, you should know how to do everything. I mean, if what you're telling me is true, you should be the wisest person in the world.
Why?
Well, because you've lived for, 400 years, according to what you say. And you should have learned things, acquired wisdom.
Well, that's not true. I was just an ordinary girl. I had no special talent or ability. And over the years, over and over again, I kept leading the same kind of life.
Now, why do you have the need to claim that you've been
living... Do you notice my left eye?
Uh-huh.
The scar just above the eyebrow.
Hmm.
That glass bottle exploded just before I drank the elixir. And that's the last time I have ever been injured. The very last time.
Okay, I believe you.
You don't really believe me.
Oh, what does it matter? I love you.
Love. When you're young, you think love is all there is, and that it lasts forever.
It does. I know what love is.
And I know what forever is.
Didn't her story strike you as kind of peculiar?
Well, Sheriff, I didn't care.
Mr. Burnham, I'm trying to help. All I know is an elderly gentleman and his very young wife...
No, she's older than I am, than anyone alive today.
Could I just tell you what we're faced with? Now, the two of them go off sailing. He comes back. She doesn't. Am I correct so far?
Yes.
Now, something happened to the wife. The husband doesn't seem to be alarmed. He doesn't notify anybody.
I told you why. Why, nothing could ever possibly happen to her.
Meanwhile, the woman is missing, and you come up with this fantastic yarn.
Well, I admit it sounds fantastic.
And you just swallowed it.
No, I didn't just swallow it. I went to see a doctor.
You went? She's the one who needed it.
But she wouldn't go. But why does she lie to me, Doctor?
Well, a woman may lie because she's unsure of her husband's love.
Oh, that isn't so. Now, she knows I love her. I couldn't possibly be more attentive, more affectionate. There's just something strange. Why does she insist on having such a past?
Look, you'd have to tell me something about her background.
Her background?
Are her parents living?
Well, she claims that her father was killed in the massacre of 1572.
Well, she must have friends. She did go to school somewhere. She was raised someplace.
Yes, out west.
Good, where?
I don't know. She never talks about that.
Well, then, Mr. Burnham, getting down to it, you know absolutely nothing about your wife.
Well, none of that seemed important when I fell in love.
I see. When you fell in love, you felt that love was enough.
Still is.
Well, then, why have you come to see me?
What? Okay, I see now that I'll just have to put up with those little fables. It's the only fault she has. Oh, and I think of what's wrong with the wives of other men I know. Well, a few years went by. We were happy. I started doing well financially. It seemed to me that there was no reason. Well, see, I'm old-fashioned. And I think one of the basic reasons for marriage is a family.
No.
But you like kids. I've seen you around children.
I don't even want to talk about having children.
But we've been married 10 years. You're 28.
I'm 18.
You should have kids before... Well, your first one, before 30.
Look at me. Do I look a day older?
Well, I...
You look 10 years older. You're still young, but you're over 30, and you look it.
All I want is... It's for us to have children, but if you have a good reason...
The answer is no.
Well, let it be no, but tell me why.
I don't want to bury any more of my children. I can't go through all that again. John, there are certain things you must never ask me.
Have you had children?
Yes, I've had children.
Well, what happened to them? Where are they?
They're dead.
Dead? How?
How? 400... 300, 200 years ago, children died like flies. The ones who weren't killed by fever died of old age. I refuse to outlive another child.
All right, Eleanor, now look. I think it is time for this nonsense to end. You've got to rid yourself of this terrible delusion.
No. Keep away from me. Don't touch me.
Eleanor.
Let me out of here. Oh, you look like a soldier who stabbed my father. Like the Indian who scalped my daughter.
Eleanor!
Let me out of here.
Eleanor! She ran out of the house. Her car was parked at the curb. And she got inside and drove off wildly, madly.
My car was in the driveway, and I started after her. We lived in the hills. We always loved the country. I was barely able to keep her in view. We were climbing higher and higher along a narrow, twisting road along the side of the mountain when suddenly she took a turn too quickly. The car swerved out of control right through the wire guard rail and down the side of the hill, turning over completely and landing on the rocks hundreds of feet below. There was an explosion. The wreckage was a mass of bright flames, a fiercely burning funeral pyre. I climbed down the hill as quickly as I could. I stood helplessly by the car. And then she just walked out of the wreckage. Every stitch of her clothing had been burned away. The gold ring must have melted off her finger. But not a hair was singed. There wasn't a mark on her body. She looked at me and smiled.
Darling, you'd better lend me your coat.
Well, what does it take to make a believer? She was in the car. It did crash. The impact, the flames, would have been enough to kill anyone. Or perhaps anyone not fortified by the elixir of life. It's quite a drink, but it needs a chaser, as we shall discover when I return shortly with Act 3.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. The touch to height you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
Based on EPA tests, Buick's midsize Century, with available automatic transmission and a Buick V6, got 17 miles per gallon in the city test and 25 in the highway test. Of course, those figures are only estimates. The mileage you get may vary. But what it means is this. Buick's V6 Centuries with automatic transmission got better overall EPA mileage ratings than any other U.S. midsize with automatic transmission. Nice going, Buick. In California, see your Buick dealer for EPA figures.
Share a ride with a friend. Share a smile when you're round the bend. Let somebody brighten up your day.
Share a ride with a friend. Drive together and the time you spend will speed along as you go your way.
Double up every morning. Going home at night,
go
up every day. It's a better way. We gotta have more fun together.
Talking about the latest style, we've passed away the mile. Glad that I'm not driving home alone.
Talking about the game last night, a guy made a play that was out of sight. It's nice to talk to someone going home.
Go up every morning. Go up going home at night.
A
public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
Age cannot wither, nor custom stale her infinite variety, said the poet. Well, our friend William Shakespeare was talking figuratively. For someone whom age really cannot wither, we present Eleanor Burnham, or Mrs. John Burnham, if you prefer. Eleanor claims she was born in 1554, that she drank a mysterious elixir of life when she was 18. And she's been 18 ever since. Or at least that's the story her husband, John, is telling the sheriff.
Eleanor, it's a miracle.
No, it's not a miracle. It's the elixir.
To live through that crash.
John, do you believe me? Now, do you believe me?
Yes, Eleanor. Yes, I have to believe you.
Are you telling me that she lived through a car crash like that one?
Yes, Sheriff. Yes.
Mr. Barnum, you're an intelligent man, but you evidently find yourself in, an intolerable situation. You were jealous of your wife's youth, beauty. You could no longer keep pace with it.
Sheriff, I didn't kill her. I love her.
So you manufacture this, well, it's up to you. We'll drag the lake. We'll find her body.
No, no. She went away to begin another lifetime.
No, sir. She might have gone away if you hadn't drowned her. And we know with whom.
What are you talking about?
Would the man's name be Peter Collins?
What? What do you know about Peter Collins?
I've been doing some investigating. Your wife has been having an affair.
No, it wasn't an affair. We talked about it, Helen and I.
Well, if it wasn't an affair, what was it?
But Eleanor, if it isn't an affair, what is it?
I was driving into the city and the car started acting up. I had to pull over to the side of the road and he happened by. He was very nice enough to fix it.
How many times have you seen him? Just, how many?
Just a few times.
Why?
John, the day you and I met, I said, John Berman, walk away. Turn around and walk away fast as you can. One day you'll hate me. That day is here.
Why?
Do you have to ask why? Look at yourself. You're almost 70. I'm still 18.
But, Eleanor...
I can't help it. I can't help myself.
Please.
Oh, John. I've never had a chance to become anything but an 18-year-old girl. My blood is 18. My heart. The things I want. The things I need. I'm sorry. You're no longer the...
Eleanor, I love you.
It's no longer the kind of love I need.
Eleanor.
Oh, John, please pity me.
Pity you?
Yes, me. How many times have I stood like this, talked like this, had my heart broken like this? And I must do it again and again. Each time I hope, I pray, maybe he'll be different. Maybe he'll be different. I thought maybe you'd be different.
I tried to love you more.
But I don't want love. I've had too much love. I want death. If you really loved me, you'd kill me. Kill me, and I'll be free.
How can I kill you? You can't die.
Find a way.
How?
I don't know how. How? What do I know? I'm just a young girl who was born at the end of the Dark Ages. This is a new world. Civilized. Scientific. Can't you find a way? You're a part of that world.
You want me to kill you?
Kill me. Take me with you when you die. I'll go with you. I love you best. I love you more than any of them.
But I don't know...
For the first time I have hope... You're a man like my father. You're a chemist.
No, I'm a chemical engineer.
And he was an alchemist. It's the same mystery, isn't it?
Well,
he found an elixir of life. You find me an elixir of death.
I thought it was crazy. But what could I do? I tried. I had to try. And so I went about it scientifically. Something existed in her blood, her tissues. I boned up again on pathology, biology, hematology. I analyzed her blood. I searched. I tried every approach I could think of. But there was nothing to be seen. Nothing to be found. Did you ever hear your father mention any names of things, of chemicals?
Sulfur, nitrites, I think gold, silver, mercury.
Yes, Anne.
Oils.
What kind of oils?
The only kind of oils used in those days were olive oils. They were used for everything, for cooking, for soothing wounds.
For soothing wounds. Burns, yes. Now, this elixir, this potion you drank, what did it taste like?
I can't remember.
You must remember.
Well, it was so long ago.
Try to remember.
They were breaking down the door to kill us. I was so frightened.
Please try to remember.
Well, he recited a certain verse.
What do you mean, a verse?
It was a prayer, a magic prayer. I guess you'd call it an incantation.
I don't mean nonsense like that.
Don't call it nonsense. My father believed it. Without the incantation, it couldn't. Nothing could have ever been done. Listen, I remember how he would say it. You ancient gods in all your might, lead my way and grant me light.
Well, all I can do is try. Keep trying. And I did, Sheriff. I did.
I suggest you either get a new story, or if you stick to that one, you try to make it just a bit more believable.
I know. It is difficult for you.
You say you tried to find a way to kill her.
Yes, and the other morning, I thought I had matched something that... Well, I called her into my laboratory.
What is it?
Drink it.
Do you think you found...
I don't know. Drink it.
First, you must say the prayer.
Eleanor, please.
Hold the cup to the light. Now pray. Say it. You ancient gods in all your might, lead my way and grant me light.
Oh, very well, very well. You ancient gods in all your might, lead my way and grant me light. Now drink it. Well?
I don't know. How shall I try to die?
Well, have you ever thought of drowning? Well, darling, we're out of sight of everyone now.
I should have gone out alone.
Why? I want to be here.
Well, the Mallorys, they saw us leave. If you come back alone, they might...
I know, dear, but I won't come back alone because, you see, you're not going to die.
I'm not?
No, this potion, this formula, whatever you want to call it, it can't work. I failed you.
But you said the prayer.
I also overheard the phone conversation.
Which conversation?
I wasn't asleep. I listened on the extension. I shouldn't have. But you and Peter planned to run away today.
John.
I don't blame you.
John, if you can't kill me, I can't live with you any longer.
And Peter's going to be waiting for you at the south end of the lake.
If I'm still alive.
You'll be alive.
No. Somehow, I believe you're the one who's destined to be different. You have found the way to kill me.
I found nothing.
But you said the prayer. Just the way my father said it. The same tone in your voice.
I hope you'll be happy with Peter. I loved you.
Hold down the tiller. I'm going to release the boom.
No, don't.
John! Oh, John!
The swinging boom caught me. I heard her scream, and I blacked out. When I came to, I told you the story.
So you think she ran off with the guy, Peter?
Yes, it was what she had planned, and I don't blame her.
Mr. Sheriff? Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Okay, I'll bring him right over. You want to put on your robe and slippers, Mr. Burnham?
Well, where are we going?
For a little walk. Just down the hall here. Around the corner. Stop at the next door.
Why did we come here?
That lettering on the door, what does it say?
Morgue. Why did we come to the morgue?
After you, Mr. Burnham.
Why are we here?
On the table, Mr. Burnham. You see who that is? On the table?
No. Eleanor.
They just got her body out of the lake. She drowned.
Then she... I found the elixir. I don't even remember what I mixed. But the important thing... You know what the important thing was, Sheriff? The prayer. The prayer.
But Duck says she didn't die of drowning. She's been poisoned.
Of course. It was the elixir of death. And now... She's free.
free, but poor John wasn't. He was accused of poisoning his young wife. And although the jury lent a sympathetic ear to his story, they turned an analytical mind to the verdict, which was life. Well, I'll be back with other verdicts in just a few moments.
Now, People's Year-End Double Issue is here with the 25 most intriguing people of the year. From Betty Ford to Dolly Parton, from Woody to Cher, Patty Hearst to Jerry Brown. They're all here in this special double issue of People, the winners and losers of 75, and people to watch for in 76. Jacqueline Streisand, Katharine Hepburn and Audrey II, Doris Day and Rudolph Nureyev, plus a squad of Olympic hopefuls and a line of first ladies in waiting. It's the biggest, most exciting issue of People ever. Pick up a copy today.
This is Anita Bryant. Performing is a very exciting part of my life, and I also love coming home to a caring husband and four active, growing children. I count being a wife and mother as one of my most challenging opportunities. I'm glad to be a wife, and I feel good being a mother.
You are a worthwhile person. Cultivate your God-given talents as you choose your lifestyle. This affirmation of women shared by the Mennonite churches.
The fountain of youth. The cult of the young. How we worship them in this country. The young, the strong, the beautiful. How we hate to age, to mature, to grow old, and yet to stand still while the world goes by is to be left behind in a strange, alien place forever. Our cast included Jennifer Harmon, Joe Silver, Bryna Rayburn, Ken Harvey, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Alma acts as if you're not even there.
Yes, and I think it's mean. And I told her so.
The same thing's happening to me, Grace.
I'm as mad at you, too?
I mean, people don't see me or hear me when I speak. The counterman at the diner, Helen, the receptionist at the office, even Dave Green, the copy chief.
But why should everybody be mad at us all of a sudden?
I don't think they are, Grace. I think they really can't see or hear us.
Really? Cat? Oh. But that is impossible. Is it?
I would have said so yesterday. I'd have laughed at the idea, but today, it's happening.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Says rain likely at times this morning, decreasing chance of showers this afternoon and tonight, partly sunny Monday after patchy morning fog. It's midnight. This is KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. President Ford says he is worried that CIA agents whose identities have been revealed may be assassinated as Richard Welch was last week in Athens. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Ford says he believes that Athens press reports naming Welch as top CIA agent in Greece were partly responsible for his assassination. And Mr. Ford is afraid other agents named in those reports may face danger now that their cover is blown. The president issued his statement through press secretary Ron Nessen. Nessen noted that Mr. Ford had urged congressional committees investigating the CIA not to name agents. But Nessen emphasized that Mr. Ford did not mean to connect the committee's actions with Welch's death. Former CIA case official Mike Ackerman has said that Congress has to share in the blame for Welch's murder. Frank Church, who heads the Senate Intelligence Committee, said Saturday his panel made no disclosures that could put any CIA agent in danger. Some new snow assures President Ford of good skiing today in Vail, Colorado. The fresh snowfall kept some of the less adventuresome skiers off the slopes yesterday, and Mr. Ford said he liked having one area all to himself and to three reporters he invited along. The president went to his annual fraternity reunion last night at a local restaurant. More news coming up.
Hi, this is Tony Orlando.
And Dawn.
Thelma.
And Joyce.
Talking to the...
Tony Orlando and Dawn are talking to people who have found bright new careers by going to technical school. Joyce?
So here's Fred Palm, almost 40, can't walk, and without a job. What did you do, Fred?
Fred went back to school. He took art.
I could draw before I could write, so I tried illustration.
Well, how'd you do?
Fine. I'm now employed as a technical illustrator.
If you don't like the work you do, learn to do the work you like. Get a free Tony Orlando record. You can be more than you are. And the facts on how you can learn to do the work you like at technical school. Write Careers, Box 111, Washington, D.C., 20044. Careers, Box 111, Washington, D.C., 20044.
Going back to school was a good idea, wasn't it, Fred?
Just like a second birth, Joyce.
This was a public service announcement of this station, the U.S. Office of Education, and the Advertising Council.
Alabama Governor George Wallace made his second campaign speech in Florida yesterday, where he is considered the frontrunner in the Democratic presidential primary in March. Wallace went to the little town of Candler, Florida, where several thousand people had gathered for an ox roast, a gospel sing, and his speech. David Dick has a report.
Wallace's appearance was billed as non-political, which at first stretched the imagination, but after he began to speak, the idea that it was anything but political was quickly discredited.
The average man, as I said a moment ago, who pays the taxes and bears the burden, they are the ones that are going to be recognized because it's going to be their day in 1976. And regardless of who leads that movement, you're going to lead it. And you're going to come back.
Despite his vigorous rhetoric, time is running out for the Wallace campaign to get started in Florida. His staff here says it does not know when he will return for his next appearance. David Dick, CBS News, Candler, Florida.
The Illinois campaign manager for Ronald Reagan says that he believes President Ford is losing support among Republicans in that state. Congressman Philip Crane says that he knows of only four of the 11 Illinois congressmen who are willing to run in the primary election as delegates pledged to support Mr. Ford at next year's convention. Search teams resume work at dawn today in the Colorado Rockies, where a twin-engine prop jet disappeared Friday afternoon. The sheriff's department is using planes, helicopters, and snowmobiles to try to find the plane, which was carrying nine people. The prop jet was on its way from Denver to Granby, Colorado. Rescue workers are using high-powered pumps in India today to try to get to several hundred miners trapped by floodwaters in a coal shaft. Four bodies have been recovered so far. Authorities expect the death toll to be high. Now this message.
Box 576, New York, 10016. That's Box 576, New York, 10016.
Australia's ambassador to the United States, Sir Patrick Shaw, died last night of a heart attack. Shaw had been ambassador for a little less than 2 years. He was 62. Only a few weeks ago, his wife had been assaulted outside their home in Washington. Julie and David Eisenhower are spending the day in Tokyo before leaving for China tomorrow on a visit arranged by former President Nixon. Eisenhower says that he and his wife are paying their own expenses. This is Ann Crosman, CBS News.
This is KOIN in Portland. We're now leaving the air for equipment maintenance. KOIN normally operates at 970 megahertz with 5,000 watts of power on a 24-hour-a-day basis. We'll return again at 6 a.m. this morning. Now, for the entire staff and management of KOIN, this is A.C. Emmerich inviting you to join us again soon for the best in contemporary radio. Good night.
The Captain and Tennille, 16 minutes past midnight. Alan Archer with you on KOIN, Music Radio 97. The Oregon Humane Society is not the dog pound. None of the animals left in their care is automatically disposed of because they want to save as many as they can for as long as they can. Most of the animals at the Oregon Humane Society could be good, loyal pets. They only need the chance, but care costs $2.50 to take care of one puppy for one day. So won't you help? Send your tax-deductible contribution to the Oregon Humane Society. Help save the one you can't take home.